Welcome, everybody, to the OpenIDL Architecture Working Group call for Monday, April 24, 2023. As with all Linux Foundation calls, this is held under the Linux Foundation antitrust policy. If you have any questions about these matters, please contact company counsel. Or if you're a member of the Linux Foundation, feel free to contact Andrew Updegrove of the firm Gesmer Updegrove LLP, which provides legal counsel to the Linux Foundation.
Sean, do you want to make me co-host so that when you drop off, we don't lose the meeting?
You got it. It's not allowing me to make you co-host, but I can make you host. So I'll do that when I drop off.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Nathan. So real quick, let's do the agenda. Ken, Mississippi Hurricane Zeta POC architecture discussion.
Okay, no change to that. Same in discussions with the carrier, and we're putting together the pieces about getting the network in place and doing the application work, talking to Sanofi and Chainyard about those items. I do have sort of a last second thing. We just decided to turn off the North Dakota network as it's costing us money that we don't want to spend. So the old entire OpenIDL network that we use for that POC, we're going to turn it off because it's in the old architecture, and anything further we do with North Dakota would start with the Postgres version of everything. So that's just going to be turned off.
Excellent. And I'll be reaching out on North Dakota to grab some time with you and Chainyard, Ken, to discuss what the next steps on that might be. Zeta POC, that's North Dakota. Update on OpenIDL testnet, Jeff.
Well, just making progress to line up our time slots for the workshop and training. Waiting to hear back from folks. I guess the there's a doodle poll out, I guess.
Is that the doodle poll is going out shortly. I reached out to Senefi to make sure that the timing you and I talked about on Friday worked, like doing classes on Monday and Tuesday and doing office hours on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So I'm waiting to hear back from them on that.
Okay. So Monday, Wednesday for classes, Tuesday, Thursday for follow-up.
Yep. And I'm waiting to get confirmed. Once I do, I'm going to send out the doodle poll. It's looking probably like, because most of the courses are 2 hours, like 3:30 to 5:30, yeah. Mondays and Wednesdays. So yeah,
it's going to be difficult getting open slots for everybody. We just hope that people can rearrange their schedules if there's something they can reschedule, just to make it happen for everybody.
And giving them enough advance warning. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really where we're at on that. We're looking forward to it. That's about all I got for the moment on testnet.
Awesome. We do not have Yanko here right now, but I'll do the IWG update. So last IWG call, if I'm not mistaken, we talked about design decisions around some of the work that went into Hyperledger Fabric Operator and the dashboard that came with it. For the next IWG call, which is this Thursday at 12 noon, we are looking at having a conversation around documentation, both documentation standards, where they're going to live, what kind of documentation has been done. I know Senefi has been cranking on the Ansible playbooks to get them finished for this week. And so that's yet another thing we can contribute in for that. And that's the update for IWG. And request reporting data model working group, also known as Ertemwig. And internal stat reporting, Peter.
Hey, give me a second. Can I share a screen?
Hang on.
Okay, thanks. Before I start sharing screen, so we were out last week and did a bunch of general planning for what we're going to be doing over the next many story points. I'm probably gonna maybe reach out to Sean and try to talk to him a bit about how we can pull together a roadmap and get some organization around it. But I'll go ahead and share screen now. So I'm like three quarters of the way through a bunch of planning. Today we're just gonna go over some high level notes. about what we got going on. All right, so going forward, there's going to be basically like three teams that are essentially working on driving the, doing some of the work that I'm responsible and working alongside of. This is, there's obviously a fourth team working on a network that's mostly Sanofi, and then we've got various other projects going on as well. But the three teams that I'm the most a part of is one, there's going to be an HDS team. And so the HDS team is going to be Mason, and it's going to be me, and it's going to be our new intern that starts like 12 days. So like maybe 2 weeks from today or so. And they're going to be just taking the stat plans as they exist and implementing them, decoding them, and making all the reference tables. A lot of work to be done with that. Then the next team is going to be me and the data model working group, alongside with our one of our favorite actuarial team members, Jenny. And we're going to be working on the data standards, be that both approving kind of the transition from the AIS stat plan into the functional AIS or OpenIDL data standard, but also how do we start to get some of the changes rolling to make the stat plans better. So that those two things are going to be very focused there. That's going to be, again, mostly data model working group on Fridays. Then the final team that I'm kind of putting together that's going to be kind of maybe giving a different stream of updates as we're going on is going to be the Olga team. You remember Olga is the OpenIDL loading graphical application. That's going to be primarily me. Joseph's going to work with me for a bit, and then we're going to find some more help as well. So our goal for the HDS, so AIS is kind of on some weird quarters. So we're about to be starting Q4. It seems a bit like almost like Q2 and a half for this year, but I just kind of wrote summer 2023 on here. Even though I know it's springtime right now, I didn't know exactly what to put for that. So we're finishing personal auto. We're going to be finishing homeowners, hopefully in this next quarter. And then with that new intern, we're going to be doing dwelling properties and maybe farm owners as well. So we're going to be trying to round out residential property. When it comes to the Olga team, I'm going to be putting most of my energy into Olga this next month while keeping the ball rolling on the other projects. So what does that really look like? I've been in the process, and I'm going to be doing more, but I've been in the process of gathering the requirements that are going to be necessary to make this functional application satisfy the needs of various stakeholders. I am in the process of developing a site map. After we get a site map, and we're going to be defining functionality for each page. We're going to be designing an API to go with that. We're going to be implementing an API. We're going to be implementing a UI. I need to come up with how exactly we're going to go about designing the UI. It kind of depends which developer I work with and how we push the ball forward on that. We have a meeting with our stakeholders, the data model working group, and they like the SDMA's functionality as it exists. So we have a pretty good example of what functionality is required, but we're trying to move from a old Java application to like a new React application. We're hoping to utilize primarily serverless stuff here. So we're gonna be using API Gateway. We're gonna be using Cognito for login. We're gonna be using Lambda function, node-based Lambda functions, and SQSQs. And let me get some much higher fidelity diagrams of that. I've just been in meetings all day today, but I did have a half hour before this meeting, and I threw together a really, really high level diagram of kind of what we're looking at when it comes to our application. So this is a little bit of a different organization than what you'd see on the SDMA, but my yellow squares on the bottom are gonna be the pages. So that's going back to the sitemap that we see. Here. And so I want to have a login page that's going to work with Cognito. You know, I think at some point I'd like to see that Cognito get tied into SSO if possible, but starting out, we're thinking just the username and password with the Cognito powered user pool. Then we're going to come to a landing page when you log in. So the landing page is going to have a list of all the files that are we'll have to think about what files we want on there. So we could have a list of all the files, or we could have the files that are loaded, that are in Olga, but not yet loaded into the HDS. We'll talk next week a lot more about the landing page, if not sooner with some of you. But essentially, the landing page is going to bring you to a place where you're logged in. You're going to have the option to click on an existing file. And if you clicked in on an existing file, it's going to bring you to the file page. The file page will be broken down into sections. The sections are going to be broken into the different lines of business that are found on the file. Each of those sections are going to have some summary metrics about like how many files are in there and how many lines are in there and or how many records are in there, not lines. How many records are in there and what have you like that. You'll be able to see if you are in error or out of error thresholds. And you'll be able to click, like, let's say I upload a file. I go to my file page. I see it's got personal auto on it. I click personal auto. I come over to personal auto, and it's going to give me a big table that shows me all my records. It'll highlight the records that are in error, and it's going to allow me to make my edits directly on the LOB page, the LOB-specific page, which is tied to only one file. From my LOB page, I'm going to be able to both inline edit and trigger a validation event to rerun the, this is actually should be on top. That's a duplicate. I'll be able to trigger this validation event. And that's kind of how I would go in and work on a file that was already uploaded. If I wanted to log in and come from login to landing page, I could also say, go to my desktop, select a new file. It's going to upload a file, trigger an upload file event. Once the file gets uploaded, we'll run validations against it. And once the validations are complete, you'll be able to go in and see the LOB specific pages. And I'm going to have a lot more details around this next week, but that's kind of where we are with our application. I can take any questions on that. I know that's a lot of information.
Looks good, Peter.
Excellent. Great. Okay. Great. So I'm gonna figure out exactly how to start rolling out some more timelines to this group. But I've got kind of a whole summer and probably most of the fall's worth of work on a loose roadmap or kind of big milestones picked out. So we need to figure out how to get some more organization around that so we can kind of track that throughout the summer. Looking forward to coming back next week with a lot more details around these four pages and the functionality required for them.
If anybody on the line wants to participate, let us know. We could definitely use some augmentation of staff to get all this done. What we were doing last week was Peter did a lot of detailed planning around this, and it's more work than we have people for right now. So hoping we could get some help from the community.
Yeah, of course, Ken. Do you plan any further meetings on that? I guess so, right?
Yeah, I think we're trying to. I think Peter needs a little more detail on the requirements, and then we can articulate what work. We think we talked about things that could be done by somebody outside of AIS, and we need to roll that up and then start talking to you and Jane Yard and anybody else who might want to participate.
One thing that might be good, if you can, Peter, that's a great start. I think it's a good plan. If you can modularize places where it's if it's possible, if it's AWS specific or required, and places where it's generic with regards just to the UI and the Spring stuff and database, it might be good for just for portability in the future to others. It might be asking much, but that's just a thought.
With the exception, I mean, basically, React is the only part that's generic. Everything else is going to be AWS specific.
Yeah, I understand. But the database logic, I guess the UI, The stuff that you actually orchestrate under the UI and the database should be portable, but the workflow job part about it, I guess, with it uses Lambda, of course.
But see, like the portability, like the APIs that we use to like, so like if I'm writing a serverless function and my serverless function is opening a file in an Amazon S3 bucket and it using an Amazon FIFO queue, all those parts to do that are all going to be Amazon all the way down and up.
Yeah, I understand. Maybe just you know, those are interfaces potentially to the implementation. That might be the only way to, you know, make it modularize it so that that functionality logically can be done elsewhere, even if it's not the same code.
Yeah, I'm going to be making a bunch of diagrams. We'll get a lot more detail on
that. It's just a thought for our, you know, for the Azure folks.
Yeah, and another question is you didn't make the final decision on the technology though, right? Especially when we're talking about the UI, mentioned React. Is there any preference on that, or?
I guess I'd like to. I have written more Angular code than React code, but I kind of got more into data and architecture. And it seems like in the last couple of years, everybody's gone to React. My internal team tends to like React more than Angular. Definitely we'd like to have any kind of discussions around it.
Our internal stack leans React. I hate Angular personally. I find it because I don't spend every day in it. I can never get Angular to work. So, but that's, I'm an edge case, I guess, in that regard. So it can be done in Angular to match all the rest of the code, but I just wish it was all in React.
Svetlana, did you have some other ideas or thoughts about that?
No, it's just a question if there is any restriction, but it's actually, whatever you pick, it doesn't matter that much. It's up to the team, and if you have any code base that you could reuse, you know, just to save time. But all of those UI frameworks are more or less good enough. Vue.js, Angular, or React, or anything else. There's plenty of them out there.
Yeah, and this is kind of a new development, so it could be, you can build it, you know, you're not going to use that much elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've done, you know, comparison of those technologies for other projects. It really, I don't see any reason why you should discard one or the other. It ends up being more onto the, dependent on the skills of the people you have to work on the project.
Yeah, and that's where it aligns better for us. Is this is all coming out of our regulatory reporting stuff, which is going to be aligned with other code that we have, and that's all React. So it's definitely definitely more closer for us to be in React than Angular. And it feels pretty separate from the rest of the OpenIDL UI, which is in Angular, but I just make sure I'm saying the right words. We use React, and OpenIDL has been in Angular, right? But we've been using JavaScript and React for all the other stuff.
And it is a reference implementation of the requirements. So it's actually more important to get the flow and the user interface requirements, and then the implementation is, you know.
Yeah, the running of the rules is going to be Java, because that's where they run. And we're just kind of surround that with a serverless container. So as far as, but the interactive UI, where all the complicated UI is going to be, we really need React.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds like an architecture decision.
React versus Angular?
Yeah.
Zero, zero, 004.
There you go.
And I guess the idea would be
that this would be a follow on to how carriers could adopt and use this for helping to work and populate the HDS. which will be, you know, the next thing we probably pick up on after we get the concept of the nodes working in the workshop. We need to move to the data processing side of the house and try to get that connected. So it's all good stuff. Do you have any idea about timing?
It's going to be somewhat resource dependent. So we've got a nice intern coming on. I think that he's probably going to do more with the implementation of the stat plan starting out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite know. There's a lot of work to be done. We've got, like, I think I did like somewhere around 700 story points worth of planning.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, that's a lot of work. You think one story point a day, you work 200 days a year. That's three and a half years for one developer. It also depends, because it's kind of hard. The planning starts to get so abstract, and you don't know who's doing any particular ticket or story. It's hard to imagine exactly what speed they're going to go at. I can imagine we can start to have something look good towards the fall, but it's really hard to say though.
Sure. Once again, if there are pieces that could be tried out earlier that are not, if the whole thing has to be done before anything can be shown, that's one thing. But if there are pieces that are useful as you add other parts, I'm not pushing you on this. I'm just curious. We're probably going to be spending the next 2 months on just getting the basic understanding of how to join the network and create that side of things. But at the same time, we do need to anticipate what it's going to take for folks to load data. So if it's, you know, we start to see things or work on that in 2 to 3 months, that's probably an optimal time to start.
Yeah. So, I mean, our real issue is that, like, most of this project kind of goes together, because to load bad data, maybe we make it so version one lets you load that, like, doesn't run the validations. But I mean, the real thing here is that we're trying to run validations and allow editing.
Understand.
We do have some code that we're hoping to borrow from GT2, but we don't know exactly how much of that's going to be relevant, because we're changing a little bit of the ordering around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because part of what you're doing is formatting the input source data into the form to load into the data tables. And then the part that is critical of, you know, for quality, of course, is the validation, which is sort of the sidechain process in a sense.
Yeah, that's one way to implement it. The way that GT2 is implemented, I think it does like it loads it and then it does the validations at loading mm-hmm. time, so that it's not as sequential as we're trying to be here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we're in the middle of trying to get it all figured out.
Awesome. Any other questions for Peter on next steps, particularly the flow between the data model working group and some of this UI work?
It would be good to get more help and more users involved, and more, you know, in the community, just to get input and also help you guys out.
That would be awesome. All right. Thank you, Peter, for that. Any other business for the architecture working group call for today? I am working on getting two co-chairs for this call, the same way we have two co-chairs for the infrastructure working group. So if anyone would like to volunteer, that'd be awesome. If not, I'll be reaching out to the different members to see if we can get some folks. Ken has done an amazing job keeping this community rolling, and we want to thank him, but we also want to give him a break and see if we can get Satish back and get another member to volunteer a co-chair for this call. So I'm currently working on that. And you should be seeing a doodle poll coming out for timing on the workshop, Nodeathon, build a node. We still haven't come up with a final name for it, but it's a workshop from start to finish for our members and infrastructure partners to be able to, via AWS, work together to build their own node and then have their own node and That's coming out. Hey, Dale, welcome. Any other business for today's call? As usual, Dale's timing is perfect. If there's no other business, we're going to thank everybody and give everyone 32 minutes back in their day. All right. Thanks, everybody. I'll see you all on the Infrastructure Working Group call on Thursday. And we've got the Data Model Working Group on Friday. And you're going to see some emails from me shortly. Thanks, everyone.